Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's not your wife, it's not your kids, it's not your neighbor, and it sure isn't your boss. Only we understand you. We are your friends.
You're listening to The Winning Edge.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
You're listening to Sports Grid Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Well, thanks to the Rage of Redhead, Cam Stewart. Now it's level two. People are asking if Cam recycles. No, Cam does not recycle. Cam's not a big recycler. Cam keeps his beer bottles for, like, return. I swear to God, like, I've said this, and Cam will agree. The most valuable thing in Cam's house are the beer bottles. Like, Cam's, he's got a decent TV, but no one steals TVs anymore. TVs are like, you know what I mean? Like, no, Cam's got an older TV. Like, no one wants TVs anyways, right? So, like, no one steals your TV, right? Like, me and Cam were joking about that. I was in his kitchen once. I looked. I'm like, dear God. I said, the most valuable thing you have in this house, bro, like, if someone broke in, is the beer bottle collection. It's like, it looks like a beer factory. Like, you walk in the can, it's literally to the ceiling. And, like, not like stack one deep. It's like, basically, you need, like, pallets. You need a forklift and pallets. Like, if you were going to, like, rob Cam's house and try to steal his beer bottles, you need a forklift. You'd have to come in with the forklift and beep, beep, pap up, and, like, lift them all up. I've seen Cam. He just takes, like, 10 of them or whatever at a time. When he goes to the store to get more beer, he's like, hey, he grabs a few of them. He's stuck sticking. Hey, he's like... It's too good. Ian Cameron, no, was Babano. Let me ask you: Are you a recycler, Babano? I will admit, I am. I am, because, like I said, in my condo, they're nut jobs. There's cameras and stuff, bro. And that's the downfall with that. I don't have to worry about garbage. I just dump it off in the trash room. But, like, they have cameras up, and they're like, you know, we'll find your ass or kick you out of the condo, because it's true, dude. People do some weird things, bro. I used to see it when I lived in New Jersey. I was like, why would you think it would be a good idea to try to stuff a couch down a garbage chute? Like, you know what I mean? Like, people would try to stick bicycles in, it'd get stuck. And who knows, Babano? Like, imagine in New York City how many people just figure, you know what? I'm going to chop this body up and just dump it in the garbage chute. Who's going to know? Like, happens all the time.
I hope I never have to see something like that. But, yeah, I separate recycle and garbage. And I'm so bad. I actually scrutinize over it, because a lot of the lunches that I have during the day, because I got to go quick, I got so many things I'm doing, or I just put it in the microwave, one of these frozen meal things, and it's always in these little containers, and I always look for the little symbol, recycle symbol, you know, and I scrutinize. I look closely, because sometimes it's hard to find it, you know, on some of these little frozen meal containers. And then when I see it, I'm like, okay, goes in the recycle bin. I don't see it, put it in the garbage. So I do separate the two.
Yeah, you know, that's what I find annoying, man, though. They got like six different color bins, man, in my condo. And they're all like, oh, don't mix this. I'm like, don't mix what? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's like, listen, you guys are making money off of this, number one. All right, let's just be real. You're making money off this recycling stuff. Now, you want us to sort it for you? You guys want to resell it? Go resell it. I'm not going to sort it for you. I don't recycle, like, food and stuff like that. The meat stuff, I don't even know what that stuff is. All right, more on the other side. Late Night Anger Management Class. We're talking recycling with Babano. Right now, Ian Cameron, that's right, recycling. The Raging Redhead Cam Stewart, his garbage rant classic, took our mind off the garbage of the Tampa Bay Lightning, winning the Stanley Cup this evening. And Kucherov is taking shots right now and running his mouth, but whatever, Kucherov, it's all good. I hope Putin, like, dials you up on some fake charge. Like, you want to run your mouth and be a jackass? I hope that you pissed him off somehow. You know what I'm saying? It's like, all right, karma's a bitch, Kucherov. Keep running your mouth, bro. Keep running your mouth. Something's going to happen down the road. It's all good. So, yeah, I even congratulated Tampa Babano. I even congratulated them. They're a hell of a hockey team. That's what makes them good, Babano. They have that edge. I don't like their flops, though. Like, Tampa are dirty, which I don't, whatever, it's fine. You know what I mean? That's hockey. They're dirty.
What got into Blake Coleman in that series? Blake Coleman was acting like a, I don't know, he was running around giving people little shots and little pushes.
You see him
giving
Caulfield a headlock tonight?
Yeah, accidental on purpose headlock. Yeah, exactly, as he was going by.
Yeah, no call, though.
He was really up to no good. Yeah.
Not that it would have mattered, the Canadiens' power play. That was a problem with Bano, huh? The Canadiens' power play. They had their opportunities, buddy. They just couldn't bury them. Like, they, dude, you had power play chances. You had two-on-ones. You had three-on-ones. But the power, it's funny, coming into the series, and we'll get into the NBA Finals too, but coming in, we'll just want to wrap this up, and we'll finally let it die eventually, but coming in, Babano, it was all about, oh boy, Tampa's power play is amazing. Montreal did a great job with it, right? They had one shot on goal on a power, like, you know what I mean? They did a great job of it, but Montreal's power play was beyond bad, and they had numerous opportunities. You're in a scoreless hockey game, an elimination game, Babano. And you have three, like, consecutive power plays, or, like, not even consecutive, but, like, you've got, like, four times in two periods that you've had a man advantage, and you get nothing, you deserve to lose, Babano. I'm just calling it like it is.
Yeah, I mean, I've said at times in these playoffs, the whistle from Montreal has been a little bit unfortunate and gone against them for better or worse, whether you agreed with it or not. I thought tonight they got, you know, as the game went on, they got some opportunities, you know, they got some power plays. And the motto is, your power play doesn't always have to score for you,
hold on,
but
Babano,
it can't kill momentum for you.
There's the medal coming. Here we go. The Late Night Anger Management Class returns. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Want to come with me and Wally to the Super Bowl?
Oh, absolutely. My favorite team's in it. The Atlanta Falcons. Yeah, ever since I was a boy, I've always loved the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, they're good, but I wouldn't cut out the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, I hear that President Clinton is going to be watching with his wife, Hillary.
Sports Rage, late night. I am Gabriel Morenci, Sirius XM Channel 204. And I'm taking this pretty well, actually. I really am. I'm not going to lie. I was really into it. Like, I get into the playoffs all the time with the Canadians, but I was dialed up, I was dialed in, I even went to the game, you know what I mean? I really enjoyed the run and everything. But tonight, when it ended, and I don't feel bad, actually, because I'm not a player, and now when I see Kucherov running his mouth, I'm like, whatever, dude, you know what I'm saying? But I should have watched the handshakes. I should have hung around for the handshake. But the second the game was over, I was like, boom. I turned it off. It was like the second, literally. And basically I heard Cuthbert and the Tampa Bay Lightning, Stanley Cup chat, and boom, I turned. Like, I didn't even get through his whole call. I was like, you're done. And I just sat here, and it was silent. And then it sort of hit me for real. I was upset for real for a few minutes. I was just sort of sad. And not so much, like, you know what I mean? Just that it was over. The run is over. You know, it was a fun run. I was just thinking, you know, it was 48 days. That's what it was, guys. 48 days, Babano. The Canadians, the first game against the Leafs was May 20th. That was 48 days ago. Now 49. So 49 days in the late night hours. That's a hell of a run. Like I said, only two teams lasted that long, right? And Tampa were the last one standing. So it was just sort of, I just thought back, you know. I was like, man, you know, beating the Leafs, the Vegas stuff was intense, the stupid Jet series, and now the Cup and everything. And, you know, it sucks they fell short, but I look at the positive. And you talked about it earlier, Babano. I'm not just saying this, but, like, the Canadians have just sort of been, you know, another mediocre team for the last, like, 20 years or whatever. And they're good in the playoffs. That's the thing. They get in the playoffs, and they're good at going on these runs. I'll give them that. But this is the first time for real, Babano, that you're not, like, you know, anyone that knows hockey couldn't say you're crazy. Like, you know what? Like, Cole Caulfield's the real deal, this kid. He's going to be good. Like, he's going to be really good. Nick Suzuki's already really good. Like, Nick Suzuki's a freaking stud. Romanoff is going to be a stud. Carey Price has a lot of hockey left in him. Right? Like, they've got some good young players, Babano. And his Dominic Ducharme does look like he can coach, right? And, you know, give him a full training camp, a full season, and everything. I say, you know, listen, it's not going to be easy. There's a lot of good teams in the NHL, but the Canadians are better now than they were a couple of years ago, but Ben, there's no arguing that.
Yeah, and of all the trades that Mark Bergevin made, he did a lot of work in the offseason to put this team in a position where they could make a Stanley Cup final and contend, to the point where I thought they could contend. I said it. You could watch the season preview of the Ice Guys. I said it. Montreal would be a contender and have a chance this year. And the reason why is I like the additions that they made with Joel Edmondson on the blue line, bringing in Toffoli. I know he had a tough series this time, but he still had an overall great season. Josh Anderson, I mean, they won that trade hands down with Columbus Blue Jackets for Max. Domi, he's a healthy scratch in most of the second half of the season for the Jackets. That's how far fallen out of favor he was there. And that ended up being a steal. Anderson stayed healthy, which the Habs were hoping for, and he delivered offense. He delivered physicality. He was hard, you know, tough to get off the puck when he had it, and he gave you just great effort and dogged determination most nights. So those trades were good. Really, the only thing you can hang the hat on Bergevin for Mulligan for is circuit chef, but we've talked about that one. You know, you're not going to win them all, and specifically the work he did last off season, you know, to improve that team and put them in a contending position was good. You're right. I think Dominic Ducharme, we had our questions. I know earlier in the season you were very, very unhappy with the timing of the dismissal of Julian. But I think Ducharme got better as this season went on. Look, his adjustments prior to game four were good. You know, putting Anderson on the second line, giving Gustafson and Merrill a break, and going with Romanov and Kulak instead as the 5 and 6 defensemen. And look, it made a difference because Gustafson and Merrill were not barely playing 10, 11 minutes. He's been giving Kulak and Romanov 13, even 14 minutes these last couple games. So it at least helped a little bit to keep the big four defensemen a little bit fresher in these games. So it was good adjustments by Ducharme. At the end of the day, they worked their tail off, but you just ran up against a better overall team, a deeper team, just a stronger top-to-bottom depth team, and, of course, a goaltender playing outstanding in Vasilevsky. There's no shame in the season the Habs have had, and there's going to be good, I think, for many years to come. You can build around Caulfield. You can build around Suzuki. You can build around Kotkaniemi. Yeah, of course, you mentioned Price. Anderson's still going to be there. Price, of course, you mentioned, has still probably got some really good competitive hockey left in him. Romanov on the blue line, absolutely. You've got pieces to build around, and I think Montreal will be there again next year in terms of believing not only playoffs, but thinking they could make a deep run once again.
And you know what? It's contagious as well that maybe somebody in the NHL saw that, you know, and says, you know what? That's pretty cool what's going on. You know what I mean? Or they, you know, the, before they got offered, they were like, yeah, I didn't really want to play there, but now, you know, now I will. It's, you know, when they see that, how far they went, and they can see the young players, winning is contagious. So, Bergevin, I'll give him credit. It took him a while, but, you know, I just didn't like the way they treated Julien, right? It wasn't so much a philosophical deal. It was like, dude, you fired the guy twice now with a winning record. Like, you know what I mean? It's kind of rare you get fired with a winning record, right? But the players didn't like him. And listen, I'll give credit to the players because the players have gone through a lot of coaches over the years here. And a few of these guys are the same guys. And they don't like this. They don't like that. You know what I mean? And it's like, who the hell are you guys? You know what I mean? But they actually sort of justified this. The guys that didn't like Julia justified this. As you stated, I don't want to, you know, it's no blame game. They played great. They played their hearts out. But it would have been nice to get something from Toffoli in the finals here. Right? Gallagher, you know, Gallagher's not going to be, he's not a scorer. So there were a lot of chances that he had. But to me, Toffoli, you know, the turnover as well was massive. Toffoli at the blue line a couple of games ago. You know, he didn't have a great series. Let's call it that way. He had a good playoff, but he had a terrible
It's a tough way and a rough way to end an otherwise great season for him. Because he had a great season, unfortunately, up until the final.
I can't argue it. Yeah, I can't. I can't argue it.
By the way, I want to point this about. You mentioned Gallagher, and look, everybody knows he just could not buy a goal throughout these entire playoffs. He's getting chances. He just could not bury a puck. For the life of him, he just could not. But Dominic Ducharme, after the game, said that Gallagher in particular, he said he was playing through a partially torn groin, were many other things going on with him from an injury perspective, because he said he had a groin, and he said, and more, which means there were other injuries, too, that he was playing through. So he deserves all the credit in the world.
He got dropped on his head once, not to mention.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Could it be, you know, a head injury? Yeah, exactly. Something like that. A head injury of some kind he's playing through.
Oh, so, he's a tough dude. He played
his heart.
He's
a warrior.
And that's it, too. Him and Deneau, you know, you don't expect offense from them. You know what I'm saying? So I get that. Toffoli was different. It was like there was a couple of times tonight, it's like, bro, someone's got to make a play here. You know what I mean? Not just sort of flicking at the net. Someone make a play. Like, it just sort of that skill. And I don't know. It seemed like to me that Toffoli often just he did the wrong thing every time, it seemed. I don't know. There were a couple of times where it was like, dude, one more move here, and he would dump it in the corner, or he would get stopped at the line. He nearly did it tonight, guys. He did, actually. He coughed the puck up at the blue line again, and it nearly led, but they made it up. But like I said, I'm not playing the blame game. They played their hearts out. They played their hearts out, and it was a good run. Canadians made us a lot of money through the playoffs. I mean, they were underdogs all the time. We lost tonight, Babano swinging again with the plus 220. But I hit them in the first period, plus half of the puck. I hit under in the game. I hit the Canadians plus 1.5. So we'll take it. It is what it is. All right. So on the other side. Let's talk some NBA basketball with Ian Cameron. See what he thinks about game 2. Montreal made it back to the finals for the first time since 1993. The Phoenix Suns are in the finals for the first time since 93. Will it end differently for the Suns? Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Grid is available on the radio, internet, TV, satellite,
and don't forget
our mobile app. So if you're not getting it,
you're just not trying.
Keep it right here. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
You want some of this, don't you?
Yeah!
Well, you need to know the winners, and I know the winners. So call me now.
Whoa!
$5 for the first minute, $2 for each additional minute.
You have reached the coach's hot
line. Yeah, lay it on me, coach.
In the game of my MMA.
Mm-hmm.
Versus
Cincinnati. Cincinnati.
Not
Cincinnati.
Game.
Come on, come on. Don't you realize this is costing me money?
The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. SiriusXM Channel 204. I am Gabriel Morenci. Sports Grid Radio Networks. The Tampa Bay Lightning are the Stanley Cup champions. The Phoenix Suns are trying to become the NBA champions for the first time ever. They both back in the finals for the first time since 1993. Ian Cameron kicking with us right now. Okay, Bob Bano. Follow him on Twitter, at Bano, or just look him up, Ian Cameron. One of the ice guys as well. But let's hit the court right now, Bobano. And actually, it's correlated to hockey here tonight because it really was amazing, man, that Vasilevsky was minus 135 tonight and the Lightning were minus 1,800, right? So it's the same thing here right now. Not quite the same yet. It's gone up 10 cents. We discussed it and we've been talking about it. So Chris Paul, guys, last night was minus 140. He's now minus 150. If the Phoenix Suns win the title, and everyone thinks they are, so look, right now the Phoenix Suns are minus 300. So the Suns are minus 300 on the series price. Chris Paul is minus 150. Chris Paul, dude, had 32 points last night, guys. He had 32 points. He's the first player since Michael Jordan to, and the only guy since Michael Jordan to score 30 or more points and have 8 or more assists in his NBA Finals debut. Like, so, we talked about him joining Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Tim Duncan as, you know, 36 years of older to score that many points in an NBA game. He's got 72 points in the last two. And anyways, I can go on. Chris Paul, if the Phoenix Suns win, Chris Paul's the MVP. That's a slam dunk. That's minus 150 right now. And Giannis was 600. He's 5-1. If Milwaukee win, Bobano, it's got to be Giannis. They're not going to win because of Jrue Holiday or Chris Middleton. It's got to be Giannis. So you get Giannis at plus 500, Chris Paul at minus 150. Play these MVPs, man. That's the way to go instead of series prices, Bobano.
Yeah, and certainly if you're talking about a team that's going to be favored to win the series, and the range Phoenix was coming into it, where you could lay that price or you could choose to take, you know, one of the... Now, the problem I had with the MVP, Finals MVP coming in, is Devin Booker's pretty damn good, too. So, to me, there was always a puncher's chance he could win it, but I still thought Chris Paul... Like, Chris Paul would have to have an extremely mediocre, unimpressive series if the Suns win it, for him not to be the MVP. And I don't see that happening. And obviously he had a great game one with the 32 points. And you look at the history of the Finals MVP winners, you know, outside of Andre Iguodala a few years ago, Tony Parker in 2007, and going all the way back to 81, Cedric Maxwell for the Celtics. You know who won the NBA Finals MVP? The superstar players, or the top players on these teams. Jerry West, Havlicek, Barry, Walton, Bird, you know, Abdul-Jabbar, Johnson, Mike, MJ, Olajuwon, Duncan, O'Neal, Shaq, Kobe, I mean, you go on, LeBron, go on down the list, Kawhi. You know, it's always been the top dog on all these winning NBA championship teams. So that's why you can't veer down the board in those Finals MVP props. You know, you don't want to take a Ayton. You don't want to take someone that's a big underdog or a Holiday or something like that. You got to stick to the top two. It's always the superstar player who wins the MVP.
Well, with Chris Paul... Well, he wasn't the superstar. It was 3 weeks ago that everyone said he sucked, but it's all about the narrative of Beto. It's not just about it's about the narrative, right, coming in.
Yeah.
It's the star player.
It's all voters, yeah. It's all the media scribes that get in on it, yeah.
But thing is, Chris Paul's the best player on the team. That's why. All right, so... I'm sorry I brought it up, but Bano just named off every great player in past NBA history. So, my point is, if you like Phoenix... Just take Chris Paul to win the MVP. You don't have to lay minus 300 in the series. And as I stated, if you like the Bucks, right now the Bucks are plus 240 to come back. And there's no way in hell the Bucks are going to come back and win this series unless Giannis is dominant. So he's at plus 500. That's the way to go. We told you that tonight. I would have done it. And I'm surprised Cam didn't do it because he's not even a Canadiens fan. But it was free money, man. Vasilevsky, like, I've never seen anything like that. I mean, a team is minus 1,800. The media told us they voted for him. They already told us they voted for him the other night. because they thought it was going to end. Listen, oh, I voted for Vasilevskiy to be the MVP. So the guy throws a shutout tonight as if he wasn't going to be the damn Conn Smythe Trophy winner. Minus 135. God. Hey, we told you on Game Time Decisions, that's one of those cases, Babano, where I gave people great advice. I didn't bet it, but you're welcome for people that did. So now I'm trying to do the same thing for people here with Chris Paul. And so what do you think about tomorrow's game? Don't tell me about past history. I know who played in the finals in the past. So what do you think about the game tomorrow? It's 5.5 and the total's 220.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I like to have the Phoenix futures. I took the Phoenix in game one, so that worked out well. The question is, does Milwaukee have a better game than them in game two? I think they do. I think maybe I shouldn't think this way, but I think Budenholzer can do a better job in terms of adjustments from one game to the look. He's bad in game ones, and that's a big part of my handicap in liking the Suns in game one, because Monty Williams and the Suns have gotten it done in game one in these playoffs, and Milwaukee, for the most part, hasn't. You know, some of Milwaukee's worst games in each series have been game one. So now the question becomes for Milwaukee, it's got to start on defense. You know, you could have a game where Chris Paul goes off, but you keep everyone else in check. You could have a game where Devin Booker goes off, and you keep everyone else in check. You can't have a game like game one, where Paul's got 32, and Booker's doing his thing, and Ayton's dropping 22 on you inside, and rebounding the ball like a madman, and Bridges is stepping up with double digits, and Payne and Johnson chip in for double digits. You can't have everybody going off for the Phoenix Suns in game one like they did and expect to even win a game in this series if you're the Milwaukee Bucks. They'll get their ass swept in this series if that happens again last night. So the question's going to be, can they make those adjustments? I'm leaning to the Bucks a little bit, plus the points. They have been good against the spread off a loss lately, especially off an ATS loss. They've covered their last four in that situation. It's got the feel still, to me at least, of a series that, while I think the Suns will win, I don't think it's a series, especially with Giannis now getting the game under his belt. He should be better and a little bit more effective in game two compared to game one. I don't see this as a complete runaway and a bludgeoning for the Suns, but it's going to have to start defensively for Milwaukee, because they can't have everybody going off and everybody getting their cookies for the Phoenix Suns like they did in game one, or else this is going to be a short series.
Yeah, you know what? You raised a lot of good points. I agree with a lot of what you said as far as the Bucks in game ones. I don't really know if it's Budenholzer so much. As you know, he gets blamed for everything, but he's one of these guys who doesn't get credit when they win, but they're going to blame when he loses. Yet, they just don't have the personnel. What the hell do you want? That's the problem, right? When it comes down to it, what the hell is Pat Connaughton going to do? Like, who's Brent Forbes, bro? Like, you know what I mean? It's okay. Bobby Portis has never been known as a great defensive player, right? So, like, and that was the thing. Like, the Bucks sort of went into that. I think the problem with Bano is they do have matchup problems, without a doubt. We're going to get into this.
Well, they can't defend the pick and roll. The pick and roll just killed them throughout that entire game in game one. So they got to find a way to put a sock in that.
You know, the Phoenix is so good. They're so good, Phoenix, at attacking your weakness. They really do. Like, they identify it right away. Like, they're like, you know what? They can't stop this. Let's do this. And they identify who to attack on the court. They do a good job. But you are right. At Milwaukee, that's what they do, Babano, right? They've looked – Milwaukee will look really, really bad in a couple of games, but then when they're good, they're really good. I still think they're going to win a couple of games here. Like, I'm looking right now. So if you look at series correct score, Phoenix in six is plus 440. But that means they would win in Milwaukee, right? So I don't know if they would win in Milwaukee. I think home court actually matters now that you got all these crazy fans back. So – you know, how many games do you think this is going? Like, without picking a winner, six games right now is plus 220. I think the Bucks will win at home. I think they could be screwed on the road, Babano, but I think the Bucks can win at home. But the math won't add up for them over the seven-game series, right? So I'm not writing the Bucks off yet, but I think Phoenix are going to win the series. But I still think we're in for a little bit of a longer haul. Seven games is plus 195. Six is plus 220. Five is plus 210. Suns in four is plus 600. How many games? What do you think when you talk about how many games it's going to go?
Well, and Phoenix has shown they can win on the road. They closed out the Clippers on the road. They closed out the Lakers in the first round on the road and played some of their really – they played great closeout road games. So I'm going to go six. because I do think the Bucks are good enough to not get completely steamrolled, to at least make some adjustments defensively that is going to prevent Phoenix from, I mean, that was insane in game one. And again, as I said, if that continues, like who didn't have a good game for the Phoenix Suns in game one? I mean, it was ridiculous. You know, CP3, 32, Booker, 27, 8-22, Bridges, 14, 10 for Johnson and Payne.
But you know what?
Everybody chipped in.
But look at the total of the game. So the total of the game was 219.5, right? All that math adds up. That's the problem with Milwaukee. Like, if you look, it's like, all right, Milwaukee, the total of the game is 220. You just mentioned it. You got three, four guys on the other team. You got three dudes that are getting into the 20s on the other team. And you got a couple other guys getting into the teens. We've got, all right, Giannis is going to do his thing.
And then what?
We got to pray that Middleton's on and then Holiday. And even then, we're still short. Like, they need Portis. They need Connington. They need you know, the secondary guys to score. And I don't think they can do it on the road, but they can do it at home. I was blind, but now I see.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You can use. Get the winning edge. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Sports Grid Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
And you know what? It'll be nice having a little extra cash to bet on college football. Yeah, I'd like to bet $100.
You want to pick a team?
No, just take it.
Late Night Anger Management Class, this is Sports Ridge. I am Gabriel Morenci. Sirius XM Channel 204, Sports Grid Radio Networks. Ian Cameron kicking with us, talking about the NBA Finals right now. So we told you that the Milwaukee Bucks are now plus 240 to win the series. Phoenix are minus 300, yet Giannis is plus 500. So if they're going to win in the series, they just take Giannis at plus 500 to win the MVP. And Chris Paul, and I'm going to get in on it now, actually. I'm not going to, because last night I talked about it, Babano, and it was minus 140 up to minus 150 right now. And I'm not a fan of this climbing because I know he is going to win. Chris Paul will win the most valuable player now. This game is tricky, though, isn't it, Babano? Like you said, I agree with everything you said. Like, Milwaukee have been good. I don't know if it's adjusting. I think it's effort as well. Phoenix were just a step faster, quicker. They were better rebounding. They have more talent, so there's not a lot of room for error. Milwaukee just sort of seemed content to trade baskets with them, right? And it was like, you know what? Let's trade baskets with them, and we're good. And it was working at first, actually, right? And it wasn't until like, and then late in the second quarter, I mean, it was a close game. And then Phoenix went a little run. I think it was 57-49. They went a little run at the end of the second quarter. And boom, the real explosion was, I remember it went from like 72-65 or whatever, 72-72. The wheels just fell off. But they're going to have to work a lot harder. I don't know, and I'm with you, Babano. I want to bet on Milwaukee, and I took them plus the points last night. I hit a bunch of other stuff, but I did lose. I hit the over. But I trust Milwaukee back at home more, bro, than I do tomorrow night again, even though I think they're going to be better. I'm going to be betting the over again, though, Babano, again in this game tomorrow.
Well, both coaches actually said, and I like the over last night, and I haven't made up my mind on the total for game two, but part of the reason for liking it in game one was both teams said we want to get out and run and push the ball and not face the half-court defense of the other team. And it played out that way. I mean, they were not waiting around and dribbling the ball up the court, taking their time. Either team, and there was a good amount of pace in game one. So that could be a carryover to tomorrow, although I worry about the over a bit more tomorrow because I think Milwaukee's got to dig in defensively. And if they thought, Gabe, to your point about, you know, Milwaukee content to just trade baskets in game one, if they thought that was going to win that game, they're morons. Because the Milwaukee Bucks have three reliable options to score the basketball. You know, they have three. Phoenix has six or seven that they could, on the court, that they could say, yeah, we can go to you for a basket, and we can have confidence that you're going to make the shot. You know, that's why they can't trade baskets with Phoenix. They've got to bring it defensively because they've got a whole lot more of a handful to deal with at that end of the court, in my opinion, in this series. So it's going to come down to the Bucks at that end of the court. It was not good enough, not even close to good enough in game one, and it's going to have to be a whole lot better. You can't have everybody on this Suns team, whether it's the five starters, whether it's the guys off the bench, like a Cameron Payne, like a Cameron Johnson, getting their cookies, getting their points, and having them all have great games. You're going to, that's the recipe to get swept in this series. So they've got to have big changes defensively heading into game two.
Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Bob Bano, kicking with us. All right, but Bano, so hockey's done. So what's up with the ice guys now? You guys going to have a season wrap-up podcast? Or like, what do you do through the offseason? Do you cover the draft? Like, what do you guys do now for the ice guys?
Yeah, that's exactly what we're going to do, Gabe. We're going to do our season recap show on Friday. It'll be our season ender, our season finale, if you will. Jimmy, Alex, and I will wrap up the playoffs, wrap up the season, probably take a look at the futures board for next year and just initial thoughts on, you know, the prices and who's going to have the value. So we'll do a little bit of that. And then over the off season, we'll do a couple shows, you know, during the off season with the ice guys. We're going to do a show to recap the expansion draft, you know, which is only a couple weeks away for the Seattle Kraken. It's going to be exciting to see what that roster looks like when it's all said and done. We'll do something for the actual draft. And, of course, free agency, you know, is going to start July 28th, and there'll be a lot of activity and players changing venues, changing cities, changing teams. So we're going to do a show to recap free agency, winners and losers, which teams improved, which teams maybe got worse. So we'll still be doing some off-season content for the ice guys. So it's not completely we shut it down for the summer.
And now, so you got baseball, right? Baseball betting. But now, like I said, we've been talking about this. We had Drew Martin on last night. We talked football with Drew. And it's coming right now, but Bano, the CFL will be the first league up. So we have CFL football, then college football. So actually, CFL and the Hall of Fame games, like the same night, actually.
CFL right? training camp opens next week. I mean, it's coming.
Yeah. Some of them are kind of sort of open. I'm seeing like videos of the BC Lion players already working out on the field and stuff. I think they're doing it on their, by themselves.
Yeah, voluntary
I mean?
Workouts you can yeah. do. Yeah, the official yeah, camp yeah. breaks for each team next week. But I can't wait. It's almost here.
So, the Hamilton Tiger Cats are pretty much the team to beat. Listed as the team to beat. You know, I'm not going to throw you under. We're not. You know, I don't want to do a full preview right now. But it's coming up. It's around the corner right now, Babano. So just quickly right now. So I know about Tiger Cats. You guys, Tiger Cats are stacked. They're in the 3-1 range to win a Grey Cup. I like the shorter season too, 14 games. I like that for future betting too. So Masoli's the quarterback. Who's the quarterback in Saskatchewan right now? Who's that?
We don't know.
You know?
You know, it's funny you say that. We don't know who the quarterback's going to be for Hamilton. It's going to be a competition in training camp.
Oh, really? Not Masoli. No guarantees, Masoli.
No guarantees for Masoli. It's going to be him and Dane Evans. Let's not forget what Dane Evans did.
From Tulsa.
You know, when Jeremiah Masoli was out, and he took us to the Grey Cup and that year to the game. We lost, of course, to Winnipeg, but, you know, and he played well that season. So, and they've rewarded him with the opportunity to compete for the starting job now that Masoli's healthy. They could have just said, hey, Masoli was our starter before, you know, tough you know what, you're going to be our backup. But no, they didn't say that. They basically said you're going to get the chance to compete for it. So that'll be something. The problem is, though, there's no preseason games this year. You know, it's just going to be training camp and then right into week one without any preseason games. So that's going to make for Orlando Steinauer this a little bit more difficult to evaluate this quarterback competition, because you're just going to be, you know, tossing the ball around in scrimmages and in practices. You know, you're not going to be in an actual game setting until week one of the season when we actually play Winnipeg. You know, Grey Cup rematch from 2 years ago to begin the season. So it's a tough time to have a quarterback competition with the way the training camp and the fact there's going to be no preseason this year.
All right, so I just want to quickly blast through the quarterback. So Masoli and Dane Evans. So remember, Dane Evans was great at Tulsa. Masoli, former Duck, and played in Mississippi as well. Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Is Zach Caleros going to be the starter there?
No, it's going to be Cody Fajardo. Zach Collaros is in Winnipeg.
Oh, then he's the Winnipeg, huh? He went to Winnipeg. That's what I'm asking. I don't know. He's, how many teams? Zach Collaros is on a mission to play for every team in the league, huh?
He went to Winnipeg halfway through two years ago, and then he caught fire. He had a great playoffs, and then he was in the won them the Grey Cup against my Ticats, and he played great for them.
Did he win? I thought he got hurt. He was.
I know what it's like, Gabe. It's 2 years ago. It's been. I know. It's you have to sort of like refresh your memory a little bit. I know. But yeah,
Fajardo. He's not. He's okay. He's all right. All right. So kid from Nevada. All right. So Calgary. It's the same.
Bill Mitchell.
Bo Levi Mitchell. All right. So Winnipeg. Zach Collaros. Huh.
Yep.
Argos is Bethel Thompson, right? Argos is going to be Bethel Thompson?
Yeah, it's going to be an open competition. It was going to be Matt Nichols. They had brought him in, but now all of a sudden Matt Nichols is gone again. So it's going to be a competition there as well for their quarterback spot. It's Bethel Thompson, and I'm trying to remember now who's with him now. But let me just
Bethel Thompson. Yeah, it'll end up being. I think it'll be him. So the Alouettes have a good quarterback in Vernon Adams. I know that. Yeah. So Vernon Adams quarterback there. BC Lions. Well, who's the BC quarterback?
Oh, Nick Arbuckle. That's right. Played for Calgary. Backed up.
Nick Arbuckle was battling for the job in Toronto, right?
Correct. Yes, it'll be Arbuckle and Bethel Thompson. That's right. Last I heard, is that they're going to make that an open competition. Yep.
You know, Shea Patterson from Michigan signed with the BC Lions. I'm not saying he's going to win the job, but who's the start? Who's the tentative starter for the Lions?
That's going to be an interest. It's Mike Riley still. He's still there.
It is, huh?
Yep.
Riley, huh? He makes a lot of money, actually.
Life with Riley wasn't so good last year, but hey, maybe he's
got
or 2 years.
He's got a good arm. He's got a good arm, though.
Right.
Where's Trevor Harris?
Edmonton.
So he's the Elks quarterback, Trevor Harris. All right.
He is, and him and Billingson, you know, they've been together since their Ottawa days, and now they're playing together with the Eskimos. And you know, it's funny, their new head coach is Jamie Elizondo. And he was the Ottawa Red Blacks offensive coordinator when Trevor Harris and Ellingson were there, you know, a few years ago. Yeah, so you talk about having that cohesion and having that, you don't have to learn a new offense all of a sudden.
He always gets hurt. Who's the Red Black quarterback?
That's where Matt Nichols is.
Okay. All right. So it's all right. So the quarterbacks are pretty much set then. So Masoli, Evans, Battle, Hamilton, Saskatchewan. Cody Fajardo out of Nevada, Calgary Stampeders, who's known as the best QB in the league, Bo Levi Mitchell, Winnipeg Blue Bombers, Zach Collaro, Cincinnati Bearcats, every CFL team ever, Toronto Argonauts, Bethel Thompson, Arbuckle Battle, Montreal Alouettes, Vernon Adams, BC Lions, Mike Riley, Red Blacks, Matt Nichols, and the Elks, Trevor Harris. All right, there we go. Only took us 4 or 5 minutes. Now I know. We got to shake it up. All right, there we go. So it's pretty much set.
There's going to be battles for the Ticats and the Argos jobs. And like I think Nichols has the job. Davis has the job. Collaros has Fajardo's going to be the starter for Saskatchewan. Harris the starter for Edmonton. Mitchell's the starter for Calgary. I really think there's only two teams that have their starting quarterback for week one up for grabs still, and that's the Ticats between Dane Evans and Jeremiah Masoli, and the Argos between Nick Arbuckle and McLeod Bethel Thompson.
All right, just, you know, and I don't want to come at you, Babano, but I'm going to come at you here. Go, Owls, go. Go, Owls, go. I tell you what, you remember when the Alouettes started to get better before the shutdown and stuff? They started to catch fire a little bit. I know you guys are the team to beat, but you know, it's one of those deals. 14 games, not a lot of teams. 6 teams make the playoffs. The Alouettes are like 9-1, bro. Puts me in a good hedge. Make it to the Eastern Conference Final against Hamilton. I got a nice hedge at 850, 9-1, Babano.
They are going to be good, Montreal. I mean, Vernon Adams, I think Kahari Jones, there was a level of respect that was garnered. He rebuilt.
They had a bunch of coach.
Yeah, Mike they had Sherman. A bunch of numbnut coaches. Mike Sherman, Dan Hawkins, which was a disaster.
You can go
down the list of miserable coaching decisions.
They kept hiring Babano big names. Remember, let's get a big name. Oh, yeah, Mike Sherman, big NFL. Hawkins comes in. They don't know anything about the league. What are you doing?
Yep. No, I agree 100% that they didn't know. And it's a totally different type of football, you know, to prepare for. And there's an adjustment, and they weren't ready for it. So Kahari Jones stepped in, and I thought he did a terrific job. And look, he's a guy that I think players respect him, and it worked wonders. And he showed that his adjustments and his, you know, getting a game plan ready for his team, having his team ready. You know, that wasn't the case for the Alouettes for years. He had his team ready every week to play.
Oh, yeah.
That was a difference all by itself.
Hey, the Grey Cup's in Hamilton, too. Huh? Maybe we'll come. We'll see.
December. I know it's even later because of the late start to the season. So now it's going to be in December. It's like right before Christmas.
Road rage at Babano's house. Let's rock. More Babano on the other side.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Working hard 24 hours a day to give you your USRDA of the winning edge. Everything a growing boy needs.
Sit up straight.
Get it right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Late night anger management class. This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. Kicking with Ian Cameron for a couple more minutes. We got Mo DeKeel going to join us. Great NBA analyst, insider. Mo DeKeel, talk NBA finals with Mo. Used to be a video coordinator, actually, with the Clippers as well. Worked in Australia. Mo, great basketball guy. Mo DeKeel. We're going to get Pete Annapolis on later in the week as well. We've been caught up in the hockey. Now we're going to start. We're talking football a little bit. Last night, college football, a little CFL talk tonight. We talk about, guys, XFL. I see the XFL is delayed for another year right now. But that was the last football game I was at, an XFL game in New York. New York, the Guardians versus the LA, whatever the hell the LA team was called. So I'm looking forward to battle. I'm going to go to every football league this year. Like, you know what I mean? I'm on the air a lot and stuff, so, you know, I can't go to every game I'd like to, but at the same point in time, like, I'm going to the BC Lions and Edmonton Elks game on August the 19th. It looks like, I don't know the date yet. I'll tell you the date. This is pretty cool. You got to come back out to Babano, to the Pacific Northwest. I'm going to go see UCLA and Washington play, Babano. UCLA
UCLA is going to be good this year.
Yeah, exactly. You said so will Washington. UCLA at Washington, October the 16th, Saturday. It's pretty cool. I'm going to go check that game out. And maybe, you know, Seahawks, and I'm going to figure out a Bills game. You know what I mean? So I'm going to get NFL, CFL, and college football. You know, at least a couple of games of each one. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and you've got the ability to go. You know, got Seahawks games just across the border there in BC. You've got, like you say, Washington.
Well, I got Vegas. The Raiders. Yeah. The Raiders in Vegas. The Raiders in Vegas are like 2 hours away from everywhere on the West Coast, too. All right, Ian Cameron. Okay, Babano. Good stuff, Babano. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch up with you on Sunday, and get ready. We'll start talking college football.
I can't wait. We'll get college football, maybe conference previews going next week. Sounds like a plan to me, Gabe. Have a good night. Thanks.
Late Night Anger Management Class. Mo DeKeel is going to step up and in the jump, but not Rachel Nichols' jump. Jump!